Well,
Oh, man, Mom, don't even listen to him. It was so great.
I take it you really enjoyed the movie, Rashi.
Where's the toolkit, Dad?
No, Rashi, no. You were screaming since the opening credits. You liked that movie so much.
La, 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 la.
Yeah, I know. You love the Three Stooges.
Dad, come here.
No,
I'm
not.
Put your eye on this.
No, no, no.
Yeah.
Ow, ow, ow.
Come here, porcupine.
No, don't.
There you go, mongoose.
Boy, I get my hair cut short and he still manages to grab it on there.
Oh, yeah, that reminds me. Where's the scissors?
No, the scissors are locked up in the gun safe. We're not getting at those again. So you really like the Three Stooges, huh?
No, I just really like violence.
It's Paul Dini.
And this is Misty Lee, and Deuce is here licking my face.
Yes.
And
yes.
We have Emily Elmer and Ezra Walker with us today.
And hey. Muggsy asleep Hello. Next to us.
Yes. Muggsy got low billing. He's going to be really mad.
So well, no, not as low as Hobart. We haven't introduced him yet. He's slinking around somewhere.
Yeah, I guess I'm chopped liver.
Now, Rashi, of course.
Special guest star, chopped liver.
Rashi, you always get the opening segment, of course.
Special guest star, ignored.
No, all right, Rashi, join us for the whole segment.
Come here, porcupine.
No, you did that gag. Come on.
It works every time I'll get him.
Yeah, right.
Hey, Dad, look at this picture of a rare and thought to be extinct animal.
Where is it? Oh.
Sucker.
Yeah. Yeah, you caught a dodo there, I guess.
Can you guys guess what movie we saw this week?
What didn't we see? This was a big movie week for us.
Oh, Avengers was so good.
We saw Avengers.
It was so good.
I
can imagine that was good.
Avengers was great, but we can't really talk about it because we went to the premiere and very few people have seen it.
Sucker!
So,
we can't even try.
So good.
We can't even try to see it. You would have to sneak in somewhere. I don't know.
They had a screening.
It's worth it.
I was at work today and over at Marvel, and they said that there was a screening down in San Diego over the weekend, mm-hmm. and they had invited a lot of fan friendly folks to see it, mm-hmm. and kind of get the buzz on the internet talking about it, mm-hmm. and maybe let a few surprises slip. But I'm not going to let any surprises slip here because I want people to enjoy it.
It's so good.
Really, really terrific.
And you said they went back after the premiere and added another scene.
Well, that's what I heard. You know, Joss Whedon kind of denied it. But at the premiere, Robert Downey Jr. was saying, yeah, we're going to leave early tonight because we're going to shoot something else for the movie. And I'm going, what could that have been? I don't know. So maybe they did, maybe they didn't. Maybe it's just more confusion.
I don't care. It was so good.
The movie doesn't need a thing.
No.
It really doesn't.
It's so good.
It really doesn't.
It's so funny.
So, and it was fun going because we got to see all the celebrities arrive and Robert Downey Jr. arriving in a special car and Scarlett Johansson. She looked great.
Carpet.
And let's see. Chris Hemsworth was mm-hmm. there, of course, as Thor, and everybody. Mm-hmm. It was just really wonderful. And we got to.
Deuce had his tuxedo on. He looked very dapper.
Yes. We hung out with the Men of Action,
Man of Action. We did.
Singular.
We had a really good time. Duncan and I did fake celebrity sightings.
Yeah.
And so I've just put my sunglasses.
Duncan Rouleau.
Hello,
he looks very good with those.
Yes, he's very dapper. Do you like this?
Eric Radomski was in the row in front of us, so
yes,
we were trading barbs with
nice.
Him. Very funny.
Yes.
And Deuce looks like a star now.
Take his picture. You know, we didn't post all that stuff from last time.
No, he looks like a little old man. Like he looks like a retired Hollywood agent who's been playing a lot of golf out in Palm Springs.
Danny Rose.
Yeah.
Oh, he just gave Emily the what's up.
Kind of like,
Emily,
yeah.
Did you see that?
I've been in your business 80 years, and I represented all the greats. All the greats.
Deuce?
Yes, they all
Look
come
at Mama.
Me.
So Deuce is getting his portrait taken. Yeah.
You want a treat?
Really, Deuce? Really enjoy the Avengers a lot. It was a tremendous amount of fun.
We got to see a Joss Whedon, Chris Hemsworth feature this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cabin in the Woods. Now, I saw that, too. I went solo because...
Because Misty doesn't do scary movies.
Misty doesn't. Well, you liked...
You're missing out.
You liked The Woman in Black.
I did actually like that quite
that was,
a bit.
That was really good. This one I actually thought was going to be scarier than it was. Once you settle into it, it's not so much a horror movie as it's a fantasy movie. I think I can say that much.
I feel like it's also a love letter to horror movies.
Yeah.
That's two Valentines from Joss Whedon this month.
Mm-hmm. The last 10
Comic-Con
minutes.
Comic-Con the movie and this yeah. one. Valentine.
Well, that's three. Valentine. That's three because yeah. oh, yeah. he wow. was in Comic-Con the movie.
Big busy. Yeah.
Well, he was in Comic-Con, A Fan's Hope, and he was producer of that, mm-hmm. as well as one of the key interviewees mm-hmm. in that.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote and directed Avengers, and mm-hmm. then he wrote Cabin in the Woods with my friend Drew Goddard.
Yeah,
oh, he directed it, right? Very nice.
Yeah, who we ran into at the Avengers premiere.
We did. You know, I think it's really interesting. And, you know, if you guys don't agree, I don't really want to argue, so just let me be right. That's a way to win an argument, isn't it?
What?
I just don't want to argue, so just let me be right.
Let me be right. Yeah, okay.
Never done that before. Let's
You've been taking
worse.
Argument class from Rashi again.
I guess. Yeah. Okay, now everybody just shut up.
All right.
Because this might be wrong.
All right.
No, what I was going to say is what I think is really interesting about those two movies specifically, being a Valentine, if you will, is Joss Whedon seems to have put his finger on this sort of narcissistic YouTube age that we're sort of dawning into.
Uh-huh.
And he's making meta movies about the people who are going to consume them.
Yeah,
and
well,
using
he's
using them as a key player in the film, and they're very, very interactive,
uh-huh.
and they're very considerate of what the consumer's end product opinion is going to be, and I think that's really fascinating and very savvy.
Yeah, he's very astute. He's very
astute is the word I was actually looking for.
He's very fan friendly because I think he is a fan of the stuff. I don't think you can produce the amount of work and with the quality he has unless you are a fan. Now, did he do Firefly?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, we saw the movie for that came out after that.
We did?
Yeah, I didn't see the series, but...
I don't remember seeing the movie. I don't think I saw the movie with you.
I think you did.
I don't think it is.
It's a long time ago.
Okay.
But I like the movie as a standalone thing, because for whatever reason, I missed the series. And with Buffy, I was sort of hit or miss on it. I would go through periods where I'd make an effort to watch it, but for whatever reason, I think it was keeping late nights and just working late when Buffy was in its prime. But I've always appreciated the amount of, imagination that goes into his work, especially where it links with a very modern audience. Mm-hmm. And you can tell that he's a fan of the stuff, that he speaks the language fluently.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some moments in Avengers that were so astute and so dead on that showed he not only knows the Marvel characters really well, in a weird way he knows the DC characters really well, and I guess that just comes from knowing superheroes really well, that there are certain tropes and certain mannerisms that are common to a lot of the same characters, and even though you know they're all different, in a lot of ways they're all the same, and he was able to kind of mix and match little bits of, I don't know, it's hard to put my finger on. Because he's so conversant in that language, he was able to craft very believable characters and very engaging characters out of the Marvel universe, and also just to sprinkle a little dash of DC in there also, too.
It's like when you see those master chefs deconstruct a staple food into like these little elements, but it's still all combined in the right thing.
Yeah,
he understands all those elements so well. He's able to pull them apart and refit them to hit the same archetypes, but in his twist.
I put the call out this week for some questions because we don't have a special guest this week. Kind of our house is dirty and we don't want anybody.
It's disgusting in here.
Anybody seeing
it? It's so bad. There are just piles of crap everywhere. Not literally, but I mean, like, I had two seances on Friday, so my seance stuff is still on the couch. It's just like, and it's all my mess. Like, he has stuff, but I leave stuff. And it's like, I look around the house and it's just like, man, I got to put that away. Uh-huh. Damn it, I got to put that away. Ah, crap, I got to take down the Easter decorations. Oh, why'd I leave my purse here? And
you don't
it's
have
like,
to
it's
worry
everything.
About the, you don't have to worry about the Easter decorations in the dining room. Rashi set them on fire.
That's fine.
Small fire.
Yeah, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fine. But it's just, there's just stuff everywhere. Stuff that has to be sent back to, because I ordered something from a catalog, it's too big. And I mean, it's just, you know, there's a bunch of cloaks that have to be put in my magic trailer. It's just crap. It's just everywhere. Mm-hmm. And I just can't get it together.
Next week it'll be clean because we're going to have a guest next week. We have a special guest next week.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Is it who you said it was going to be?
Yeah, I think it's going to be who
I said. Did you contact him? Does he know he's coming on?
No.
But how do you know he's
going to
be here?
Because next week we are going to have, if special guest number one bows out,
it will be special guest star Pinchy.
Number two. No, no, Pinchy's.
Pinchy, I pinch.
You pinch, yes, you pinch.
Oh, yes, it's Pinchy.
So anyway, I put the call out for some questions.
Yeah.
And
we have Pinchy send you an answer?
Pinchy, sit down.
I'm going to have Pinchy play the questions music.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Oh, you know what? You know whose birthday it is today?
Mine.
No, your birthday is the end of the week.
Ezra's was earlier this month.
Yes, that's right. Happy birthday, Ezra.
Post birthday. Oh my gosh! Ezra and Emily got me. Oh, the best gift. It's so good. It's a penny farthing necklace. And I opened it and said, falling. As a matter of fact, my birthday has been postponed. And this will air on my birthday.
That's
which
right.
Which is my unbirthday. It's my unbirthday.
So happy birthday, Misty.
To me. Yes, happy unbirthday to me.
But
so it's being postponed till May. So I'll let all y'all know when it is. Not that you care, but I'm going to tell you anyways. Late May.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of having
the
clown.
She stalled her aging for a month.
No, it's not aging. No, it's I don't care about getting older.
Oh.
I don't have time to have a birthday right now.
Everybody's been calling you
it's
saying,
like,
what are we doing for
me.
Misty's birthday?
Yeah, yeah. Like Renee and Trish Alasky, there we mentioned her, and the new Scott Adsit, whom we haven't heard from. No, I'm just kidding. Who probably doesn't even know.
Everybody wants to know if the bounce house is coming back for your birthday.
I did have a bounce house 1 year.
And you
I had,
had
a bounce house. I had Jonathan
magicians.
Pendragon was my birthday party magician another year.
Nice.
I had a Bob Baker marionette theater party one
puppet
year.
Show,
we did
right.
puppet show. We did Chuck E. Cheese. That was embarrassing. I'll never do that again. And
that was pretty awful.
It was bad. Yeah. It was not even fun. You know what we could do is Kids Castle.
Ooh.
Oh, don't make a face.
Yeah, yeah,
he
yeah.
He has so much fun at Kids Castle. He always, do you know what that is?
It's like a mini golf place? Or,
no. It's Chuck E. Cheese for grown-er children.
Yeah.
For grown-er.
And it's always empty. Not grown-er like, oh, bad joke,
grown-er.
Kid. It's not where all the kids that tell bad jokes
yeah.
go. It's for grown-upper, no, adolescents. There we go. So, not babies. And they have a lot of the bebe stuff, so you can do bebe games. But they have carnival ride in the back.
Oh,
yeah.
They have like that thing where you go around that really describes them all. It's not a tilt-a-whirl. It's not the scrambler, but it's almost like, it's like the, it goes fast around and around. It's like a little.
Like a little dragon coaster.
No, you don't stand up. Yeah, it's like, it's just like a baby coaster.
Yeah.
But grown-ups can go in it like me and it's fun. And you get tickets, but they have prizes like a PS3. Ooh. It's a step above Chuck E. Cheese. But under Dave and Buster's. Do you know what Dave and Buster's is?
Yeah.
So it's not quite Dave and Buster's. Like, it's not a bar, although they do have, but they have things like penne pasta on the menu. Mm-hmm. And it's always empty.
And their pizza is actually edible.
Is it,
their pizza's delish.
Is it the one on Empire?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got
dragon?
Green Dragon.
Yeah, yeah.
All the time.
Yeah. So
yeah, that's
go.
Not a special effects house.
So
that's
good.
Actually a place you can go
yeah,
into.
I just
fun.
Thought it was more children oriented.
No.
No.
No, it's cool.
Okay.
I say no.
Oh, okay. You say no.
They say yes.
Anyway. Yeah, I know.
They say yes. Kids Castle, the name of it suggests.
Yeah.
I say they're wrong.
Oh, okay.
It's wonderful in there.
Nay,
and
nay.
It's always empty.
So you want to go to
I mean, I can't promise it'll always. It's probably slammed on the weekends, but I always go on like a Wednesday at noon. And so I don't know what it would be.
You make it like a weekly thing.
The crazy lady's back. She's riding the dragon coaster.
She doesn't
herself.
Even have any kids.
You
why does she come in here alone? It's weird.
What about Disneyland?
No, I don't
go
alone.
You want to
go
to Disneyland?
Awesome. No.
No Disneyland.
I don't like Disneyland.
You want to go?
I do not want to go to there.
We're going next month.
Poop. Why are we going? I don't want to go.
Because my niece wants to go.
Your niece can go with you. You take her. See,
Deuce looked
doesn't...
up when he said poop. Like, you, like, oh, I think he said go. Like, he wants to go.
Yeah, he wants to go. See, he tilted. He did the head tilt when you said go.
Okay.
You take Caitlin. I don't wish to go to Disneyland.
To
I
go
like
to Disneyland.
Caitlin. I would go just about anywhere with Caitlin.
Okay.
But I'll wait in the car.
All right.
I'll play
Fruit Ninja. Good. You can wait 17 hours in the car playing.
Do you know how much Fruit Ninja I could
Fruit
play
Ninja
in that time?
And Kingdom of Loathing. And
oh, my God. I love Kingdom of Loathing. I'm on about it again.
Can you play Kingdom of Loathing on your phone?
I could play Kingdom of Loathing if there's Wi-Fi. Yeah, you could play it on your phone.
Really?
Well, it's so simple. The graphics are nothing.
Yeah, you're such
you
a...
know, they don't have an app.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
You don't need it.
You're such
it
a fiend
loads.
For that. You can play it via smoke signals. You'll find
I totally
some,
could.
You'll light a brush fire with a blanket.
I'll play it in binary. I don't
yeah,
care.
You'll find somebody who's playing Kingdom
oh
of Loathing.
Oh, my God. I love KOL.
Yeah.
I love it so much. I was laughing so hard.
Uh-huh.
I just love the way they write. I just love those guys. They're so funny.
So we'll crack the window open, then we'll go to Disneyland, stand in lines, and come back all grouchy and horrible and not talking to each other.
And I will have had a great Fruit Ninja KOL day.
Yeah.
And I'll be like, suckers.
All
right. I don't want to go. We'll take it. You know, we should take her to Kids Castle, and she'll be like, F Disneyland.
No, she'll be
wondering. Oh, yes, she would.
Okay.
I know Caitlin. We have good times, Caitlin and I. Bagel Bakers. Oh, my God.
Oh, you won't agree on either place.
We talked about Bagel Bakers.
Yeah, Bagel Bakers.
I was all excited. I was going to tell you a story. Don't need to.
It's like, they don't, Disneyland, no good. Then King's Castle, no good. You'll go to the one place you can agree on, the Mac store.
Yeah.
And I don't mean Macintosh.
No.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't mean the Apple
store. If we took her to the Apple store, she'd be very happy.
No, she'd run across the street and go right to the Mac store, Mac makeup, so.
She likes Mac. Do you know what? She hasn't been on about it in a long time.
I guess not. No.
No. She was gonna actually, she's an esthetician. No. She's a cosmetologist. Different. Esthetician does facials. She does hair and makeup and fingernails. Caitlin does. His niece. And she is awesome. And she's hysterical. And she's crazy like me. And so we get along really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
But she likes MAC makeup an awful lot. So we would always, like, in her Christmas stocking, stick a little gift certificate in there. Because
nice.
She likes the colors, because they come out really, really bright. And they have, like, magenta eyeshadow, because we all need that. Why are you, like, wearing it, aren't you?
I actually went to MAC yesterday.
There you go. What did you buy?
Eyeshadow.
Magenta?
No.
I was going to say, I am psychic. I'm not, though. Proof. So what did you buy? Tell the nice people what you bought. What color?
I don't remember what color.
Nonsense. You know exactly what color because you had to ask for it. What color?
No, I went to the one where I just picked it out. It was in the one in Macy's.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Oh.
I made the mistake of buying you gifts.
That's not a real Mac store, Emily.
I made the mistake of buying you gifts there.
Yes, really. I was pissed.
Yeah.
Because I have the palettes. I get the little palettes. Like, all my stage makeup is MAC because it's just easier. It's not easier. I just like it. I think the eyeshadows are really good. No, it's fine. I really do. I like it because the pigmentation in the eyeshadows is really good. But you can't get the palette, the little magnetic. They have little magnetic eyeshadows. I'm looking at Ezra and I'm explaining this to him right now. And making little circles with my hand. If you do know, then you can explain
it.
No, I don't know. Okay. They have a tray. Mm-hmm. With circles in it that are magnetic. And then they sell little circles of eyeshadow so you can make your own tray. And instead of going to CVS or whatever and buying a tray of eyeshadow that you don't need, you can actually select your colors and put whatever colors you want. Oh. And so I have three palettes. I have cool shades, neutral shades, and matte shades. And they're all, I've acquired them for different photo shoots. Like I did this crazy years ago, straight jacket photo shoot where I've got tears. Portland took my pictures.
Oh, yeah.
And tears just running down my face. And I had to go buy yellow and orange and navy blue eyeshadow, which I would never wear because I wanted to simulate black eyes, like dark circles under my eyes. And so you acquire that stuff and it's like, well, where do you put it? Well, I put it in a matte tray because you don't want to, I mean, those eyeshadows, it's expensive. It's like $15 an eyeshadow. But it lasts you a good long time because you don't need a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they have great colors. And that was my MAC commercial. Why am I still talking about this?
Well,
it's so
I was,
not interesting.
I was, you know, like, I've tried to get
this
you
is so gifts. Not interesting at all.
I've tried to get you gifts, like, around Christmas time. Like, I'll try and get you, like...
You give great gifts at Christmas.
I give great gifts,
you
but
you know
then,
what
but
I
then,
like. He's like, I just bought you this pair of Fry boots. And I'm like, oh, well, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you wear them all the time.
I do. Those Victorian ones you got me.
Yeah.
I wear them constantly. I wore them the day you called the police on me when I was chasing that dog.
Oh, that's right.
Uh-huh.
But there have been times, like, I know you like MAC makeup, and then I'll sit here going, like, okay, Beverly Hills, there's a MAC store, and I'm not going down there, not any time in December.
Just go to Glendale. There's one in
And then I thought, Glendale, but, oh, God, I hate parking there, and you walk forever.
They have a valet.
And they have every, and it's like, I'll make it easy on myself. I know there's MAC makeup at Macy's over, you know, over in Sherman Oaks.
Harder.
And I, yes.
It's harder
well,
to
I
do.
Didn't know that because I go
do
over.
Do you know what else? There's MAC online, and you can do that online, and they will ship the gift certificate to the house.
Yes, I found that out because my first experience was going over to the one at Macy's.
Mm-hmm.
And I go in there and I'm lost. You know, it's like I'm seven. It's like, hello, little boy. What can I get you?
Passion fruit spray?
Makeup. Yes. We have makeup here. What color would you like? Red? It's like, I don't know anything. It's like, we have red. Now, do you want coral or burnt orange or... Or nightshade red.
Where are you going with this?
It's like, It's like, I don't
me
know.
Me living your horror is less interesting than me talking about the magnet.
So it's like, and then in the back of my head, there's this little voice that says, your only way out of this is with a gift certificate. Get a gift certificate, you fool. And so I say, can I buy a gift certificate? Sure. Sure, you can have one of those. And I go, oh, saved. And I pull out the Macy's credit card and I give it, and I give it like a $100 gift certificate.
Yeah, it was
and
pretty generous.
Ah, oh, great, great, great. And I take it. And now I find out when you open it up, it's like, oh, Mac gift certificate that I can only use at that Macy's.
Yeah.
Where they have none of your stuff.
Right.
And so I
bumbled. No, they did. They had some things, though.
They had
they
some things.
They just don't have the you know, like the essentials that I use all the time. So I went and bought, I don't know what I bought.
But that's
it was
like
I couldn't get what I needed. I just had to get stuff that I thought I wanted, I guess.
But that's know. Like, you know, everybody is different, you know, because
actually,
like I go there.
I think I bought Caitlin some stuff.
Yeah.
I'm almost positive I did.
Oh, I think you did, yeah.
Yeah.
Because
anyway.
Being uninitiated, I don't know what to buy. You know, it's like somebody going to this, to the, a good example is when I worked on Lost, one of the Disney executives wanted to get Damon Lindelof a present. They said, what can we get him? I know he likes comic books. It's like, well, he likes The Flash. The Flash? What's that?
And
it's
oh, like, no.
So it's just like, buy this. Here's a statue of The Flash. I think he'll like that very
did
much.
Did he like it?
Yeah, he did. I think, yeah. He liked it very much.
You're like, no, he got that guy fired.
But that...
No. Good story, Paul. Good
no,
talk.
But I think it was some executive wanted to send him something. So
that's
we all,
nice.
You know, it's like, okay, I don't think he has this.
Yeah.
But that's the other thing is like somebody goes in the comic book store. Can I get a comic with that guy who does the thing and has
they
the
did
cape?
That with Penny on Big Bang.
Oh, yeah.
She came back with those gifts for Leonard and Sheldon.
Yeah, but she made a good...
Yeah, she made really good choices.
A good choice of what she wanted. So, anyway, actually...
Oh,
we have some questions.
A single question.
And we played that like an hour ago.
You have to play it again now.
Questions from the fans.
Okay. You mentioned our niece Caitlin, and here's shifting gears, talking about another girl named Caitlin. You know the big, you know
Caitlin. Oh, I love all women named Caitlin.
Do you know who the breakout character on Ultimate Spider-Man is? The early
well,
breakout
if you're
character?
Talking about Caitlin, it's White Tiger.
It's White Tiger. Everybody loves all the boys love White Tiger.
Caitlin Taylor love.
Yeah,
I love her. Oh
that.
My God, she's so funny.
Yeah, she's great as White Tiger. She's got that kind of
that's just who she is.
Husky over it voice like. Oh, Fury's gonna yell at us again.
She's baby Carol Ann.
Yeah.
She's
really
is.
Cool.
She's awesome. And she's just real salty, but she's super duper cool. What is she, like 16?
I don't know.
18. Maybe she's 18. She's
I think
very...
she's younger, actually.
No.
I think she's like, yeah.
Oh my God, she's so fabulous. She's
like
just
15.
Oh,
15,
she's
16.
Fabulous. And she's so talented. And
yeah.
She's so nice. We had a sing along in the booth a couple weeks ago, and she's so good.
Yeah.
Her and Logan and I and
well, that's,
OG.
Yeah, we've got a great crew on there. In fact, one of these questions is for you. It's like, what was it like finding auditioning for the voice of Ultimate Aunt May? This is coming from Fizz versus the World.
Nerve wracking. You know what's really interesting is I asked Paul because when I first got into voiceover, I was like, boy, you know, I had just been Taft Hart lead and I knew they were auditioning. And I said to Paul, I said, do you think you can get me the audition? And he said, I can get you an audition. I absolutely cannot get you a job. And I don't want you to even, you know, like he said, I'm not saying you're not talented, but I have no idea if they have someone in mind and you're my wife and I don't want to fight with you about this. And he said, mm-hmm. And I, you know, like not that you would, but I just want to put this disclosure in this disclaimer out there. I have no control over this. There's a lot of people that make these choices.
Yeah.
And I said, okay. And he said, so I will get you the audition if you shake on it. That you will not hold me accountable for whatever decisions are made, do good or bad. And I said, absolutely, that's only reasonable. Thank you for the chance. Because I think as actors, I mean, we audition for so many things. Mm. I can't even tell you how many voiceover, I think I looked in the past year, because I just re-signed with my agency, Atlas. In the past year, I have done just animation, probably over 400 auditions. And you book such a tiny percentage of those. I mean, other people who are working constantly, it's much easier for them to book because it's like their demo is, they're slapping people in the face with their work,
right.
You know, all the time. And it's, you know, like you hear other people's work and you go, oh, I could have totally done that. But you really can't because they're hiring that person's essence. That was their job, not yours. But all I was saying is, as actors, I think all we really want is a chance. And so he said, I will get you the audition, but I cannot get you a job. So that was fair. And it was very kind. And it was really all I wanted. And I thought, well, here's my chance to audition for an actual series. And this was going to be, you know, because I had worked with Mark on Garfield. But he was like, you know, I kind of wrote this female magician character for you. And he was very nice about it. It was a different situation. And other than the stuff that I was auditioning for with Atlas, that was kind of in a vacuum. Meaning I do it at home and send it in and you don't really hear unless you're called back. You just send it in at night. So I turned in the audition and then I got a call back and I started going, oh, damn. And I was scared because I'd never met the casting director. I didn't know anybody in the room but Paul. And he said, just go in and be you. You are an aunt. You know what that feels like. Just be honest. And that wasn't, you know, and I said, okay. And I went in and you book it or you don't. And so I did the best I could. And I felt like it was pretty organic. I mean, you know, there were a couple of tweaks and she said, here's what you did. Colette played my audition. And she said, here's what they liked and here's why we brought you in. Now do that. And I did. And she goes, now do that, but do this. You know, because they need to know that you can take direction. And so I did that. And she said, thank you very much. And I left. And I didn't hear anything about it. And then the next thing I knew, I get a phone call. Can you come in on Tuesday? We're doing the record. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? And so it was, and it was interesting because one of the executives at Marvel walked up to me and said, you were in everybody's top three, you know, because I guess they brought back like 10. And he said, you were in everybody's top three. And we sent the voices over to
Marvel, New York.
New York, and they picked you.
Wow.
And he said, so congratulations.
Marvel, New York picked you. That is a great feeling.
And they said, we don't know that voice. She's new. She's warm. She's, you know, whatever. So it was really, it wasn't even really nerve-wracking because I didn't think I'd get the job. I just wanted a chance to audition with the big kids. I just wanted to put my big girl pants on. And so the job was like, are you kidding me with this? I mean, it was just like huge gravy. So it was really exciting. And it has been. And to be in a room full of so many talented people, I mean... I every time we come in, I'm working with like Clark Gregg and Shy McBride and these guys, and I'm going, oh my God, I'm the only non-celebrity in this room. What is going on right now? You know, and it's just nuts. But it is such a privilege. And then when the debut happened and we did that thing at Meltdown, and that one guy did the wave. Thanks for having my back, one guy. Said that on my Twitter. That guy was awesome. I was like, oh, everybody do the wave. And Jeff was like, they're not going to do the wave. And that one guy did the wave. He goes, oh, that guy did the wave.
He was a sport.
He was awesome. But it was interesting to see how important to the fans Aunt May actually is. Because you just go in and do your job. Like, you know, I mean, like, we're all having fun. And it's just silly that we get money for this. You know, it's like, wow, this is crazy honor and privilege. But to see how much it affected them that changes were being made in her care in a good way, that they were really excited to embrace like ultimate Aunt May, you know, like, what does this mean? And oh, she's young now and she's playing video games. That's crazy. You know, like it was really fun. And it was magical.
Well,
and so it's an honor.
There are characters that fans have a lot invested in, you know, like, who aren't necessarily the major characters, but like Alfred. In Batman.
Absolutely.
And Pepper in Iron Man.
Foggy Nelson.
Foggy Nelson.
Wait, who's Foggy Nelson?
Daredevil's sidekick. You know, Matt Murdock's
Does anybody even care about Daredevil right now?
Those
movies were terrible.
Well, it's not necessarily
Favreau
movies,
played... didn't Favreau
play... Favreau played Foggy.
And he played Happy.
And he played Happy. That's Happy. Funny.
He's playing, like, the Marvel sidekick. I'm surprised he wasn't... But he hasn't... He wasn't in... He doesn't show up in Avengers, so... Pepper's there, though.
Well, Gwyneth Paltrow does a good job with her. She's very likable.
A lot of fun.
He asked me when we left, he was like, who's your favorite? And I was like, well, Tony Stark's always my favorite because he's just awesome. And I said, but I love the Hulk. And he said, why? And I said, because he's like me. And he said, how? And I said, I'm always a little angry.
That's right.
And he was like, yes.
Yes.
So, anyway. That was my question, so I'm done. Did you have a question?
I got a real quick
question on the same Hulk vein.
Sure.
Yeah.
Your favorite Hulk so far, then? Was it
this one,
Mark
definitely.
Ruffalo, Edward Norton, or...
Ruffalo.
Oh, God.
Ruffalo.
Wow. And definitely this one.
It's, you know what, Banner though? And Hulk. You know, they're great.
Okay.
Although I do have a lot of affection for Bixby Ferrigno. You know, that's always... That's like, you know, early... you know, teenage Hulk, you know, in my teenage years, I just love those, you know, that was a lot of fun. So, but these guys are,
So good. Hulk. It's so good.
Hulk is so good in the movie.
That was my favorite part of the trailer, was when Hulk saved Iron Man off the building. I was like, oh, I can't wait
for this. He has some moments I will tell you when we're off mic. I don't even know if I don't even want to tell you.
No. I want to go into it. You just have to wait. Yeah, I can't wait. Yeah.
They give him some moments. So good.
Oh, so good. So good. So good.
Duncan leaned over to me and he goes, well, Hulk, you know, kind of runs away with the movie. And I said, that's impossible. He was right.
He runs away with the movie.
He runs away with the movie. He's fabulous.
Hulk is...
He's so good. I want to see it again.
Yep. Maybe the idea was he couldn't be a star. He had to be, you know, a supporting or, a co.
He's a star in this.
He's a star.
Yeah?
He's a star.
He's awesome. Hulk, I want to see the movie again. It's so good. I told him, he said, you want to go see a movie? I said, yes, I want to go see Avengers. He said, it's not out yet. I said, I don't care. And he was like, no, that's not an option. What do you want to see? And I said, oh, well, we'll go see Stooges. And we're in line, and the guy behind me, before I got bitchy at the pop stand, he said, what are you guys here to see? And I said, Stooges. And he goes, you're going to be the only woman in that theater. And I said, well, based on the ticket sales, I think we're going to be the only ones in that theater.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was like, it really did well. And I was very glad, because both times I bought tickets twice for that movie this weekend, because we couldn't go the first time. And both times, like, we had our pick of the entire theater. Wow. Like, because at the Arclight, you get to choose where you sit. Yeah. It's not general admission. You just, you know. So I got to pick. And I'm rambling. Question? Sorry.
Let's see.
I'm really caffeinated. My special juice is going to make me nuts. Special juice,
yes.
Oh, my God.
We have Derek R. McKean.
Hi, Derek.
Who is... It's not so much a question. It's more like... apparently is a big Tower Prep fan. And he says, I wish Walmart and Procter & Gamble would ask Paul Dini to reproduce it and air it on NBC with Family Movie Night on NBC.
That's not a question.
That's sort of a wish. But
okay.
I wish that too. But he's quite extent. He's worked out a whole plan about how that's going to happen.
Well, that's great. He can
get
to work,
that's
Derek.
A long Twitter.
Get to work.
I mean, that ties in with a lot of other questions that I've received, not only tonight, but through, you know, it's about Tower Prep, and you know, if I'm taking questions, I should say, you know, Tower Prep's not coming back on the air, and that's by Cartoon Network's decision. They have actively been... I found out when people had been writing in, like somebody started a write-in campaign, Cartoon Network wrote back saying, forget it. You know, we're not acknowledging this. And move on. Watch our other fine programming. Just, you know...
Like,
we don't,
level up.
Yeah, like, level up. And we do not want to deal with Tower Prep or discuss it at this time. So they've locked it in a vault, and... they're denying all knowledge of it, you know.
Just like choice. They did when they were supposed to be marketing it.
Yeah. Hey, how about that?
Dun, dun, dun.
Yep.
Nice timing on that.
Yeah.
That was well timed.
Derek Magician 399 says, "Does Ultimate Spider-Man take place in the same continuity as the Avengers series?" No, they're kind of two separate things. They are, you know, they're just kind of different. You know,
they just have nods to, like, the agent from the Marvel movies and stuff.
Yeah, right? Coulson's in both stories, both shows and everything.
And Nick Fury looks like Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, but it's different. You know, they have a Hulk, we have a Hulk. It's not exactly the same Hulk. Let's see. We have a Hulk. That's my favorite line in the trailer.
Yeah. Is that that's in the
that was
trailer?
In the trailer.
Isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
yeah, it is.
Yeah,
I have an army. We have a Hulk.
We have a Hulk.
Yeah.
It's so God. He's so good. Yeah. Robert Downey Jr. is so good, and Hulk is so good. He's so good. He's so good. I love that movie so much. Oh, so funny. Wait till you see it.
Yeah.
I want you all to see it so I can tell you everything, and we can say, remember that part where this happened? And I go, and yes, that was the best.
And we can treat the entire episode like a Chris Farley sketch.
Oh, so
yeah.
Epic.
Yeah.
So epic. I just love it. Well, any other questions?
Yes. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Nethadu. N-E-T-H-E-A. DWW says, yes, have you seen
Wait, let me see it. Nethead?
Something like that.
Nethead WW.
Nethead WW?
Yes.
Oh.
What's that
game where you spell things?
Oh, shoot.
Nethead WW. Oh, God.
Mad Gab.
Yes. And he's wearing a Sir Fez made by the Fezorama for our good friends over at the...
Does he have a question?
The Sir Kevin Smith's podcast. And it's like, yes, have you seen my car keys? Yes, they're under the sofa.
Have you seen mine? Because they've been gone for 2 months.
Well, let's check under our sofa. They might be there.
Speaking about Fezorama, that birthday that just happened, Emily got me the Redonia Fez.
Yeah? Really? Well, what did you break in honor of your birthday? You got all excited about your birthday and drunkie knocked some shit over. What was that?
I have no idea.
It's like...
I have no idea what it was.
Hey, guys, let's light off sparklers after the podcast.
All right.
Can we light off your Easter sparklers?
Sure.
I got Paul some sparklers for you. Don't worry about it. You didn't break nothing.
Well, yeah, no, I
what know. Are you going to break? Everything in here is crap right now.
Oh, this gets back to, you know, we never answered the question. Whose birthday is it today? 75 years old. Daffy Duck. Daffy Duck, April 17th. Right. And it's like Goiza Man. SS.
Isn't it Gyoza?
Gyoza Man.
What is that? Those Japanese dumplings. Gyoza.
It's our good friend John Chadwick.
Hi, John.
SS.
John Chadwick, who sent the unicorn hinge head.
Yes,
oh, that's right.
Did you guys see that?
Mm-hmm.
I know we horsed around. Well, it's in the hallway now.
Ah.
It will spear any negative energy.
Yes.
As we all know, unicorns are very good for impaling.
Yes, we do.
We should put it on the door of our cabin in the woods.
What?
Yeah, a little vacation cabin. Anyway.
Yeah.
Emily can't even breathe, you guys. She's laughing so hard because it's so stupid.
I know. tell us your favorite Daffy
I would like
cartoon.
To see a unicorn. I said this before. A unicorn and a narwhal have a Jedi fight with their horns.
What, like
which color do you think? I would say the narwhal would probably be
there's
blue.
An action figure set that's narwhal versus unicorn.
Yes.
Are they? Do they have light up? Do they have light up horns?
I don't know. But if they did, I would say the narwhal would probably be blue and the unicorn would probably be green.
Narwhals are
so they shouldn't be fighting each other. What?
Narwhals are unicorns.
They're the unicorns of the sea.
Yes.
What was John's question?
Let's see. What is your favorite Daffy Duck cartoon? I know what yours is.
Nasty Quacks.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love it as much as I love the Adventures.
And then they turned the hose on and it was all over.
What a party.
I love it so much.
Guy was swinging from the chandelier. You'd think he was a monkey. Come to think of it, he was a monkey.
And Charlie got the hose and the whole thing started all over again.
Someone kicked a cop and started the whole thing all over. What a party.
Awesome.
Some coffee, please. Sure.
Here you go, sour puss.
Here you go, sour puss. Coffee? Never mind. Yeah, Nasty Quacks takes top honors.
What's your favorite?
The Nasty Quacks.
Is it really?
Yeah, I mean, there are so many good ones.
Oh, God.
I posted one on my on Twitter as a, you know, happy birthday to Daffy, and it wasn't like one of his better known ones. Because I couldn't find a decent copy of Nasty Quacks, so I posted Ducking the Devil, and which is it's Daffy Duck versus the Tasmanian Devil,
mm-hmm.
kind of a later one from like 56, 57, and it's not a great outing for him, but it's interesting seeing him go up against the Tasmanian Devil, and it's also interesting in that it's one of the few later ones where he actually wins. He actually comes out on top of the devil, and he's greedy throughout the whole thing. But not only in this one, does he win, but he beats up the devil and gets a $5,000 reward, you know, doing it. And he walks off with all the money. So it's like, hey, that's good for Daffy. He gets to win once in a while, you know. Not up against Bugs Bunny, but, you know, against a slob like the Tasmanian devil, even Daffy Duck can come out on top.
I always like the Great Piggy Bank Robbery.
That's a good one.
Yeah, you get all the weird bad guys and fun stuff.
There's one called Book Review. He's good in that one.
Oh yeah,
he's singing in that one.
Yeah.
There's one called The Coy Decoy, which you'll never see on TV, where it's very similar to Book Review. It's Porky and Daffy on book covers, and at one point, and this is why you'll never see it on TV. At one point, Daffy runs into a copy of Black Beauty, and he comes out riding on top of Aunt Jemima.
Yeah.
And I'm going like, oh, that's an unfortunate choice.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. So that part does not... And apparently that little segment doesn't edit out cleanly, so they just decided to scrap the whole
imagine.
Thing. Henpecked Duck is pretty good. The one where he makes the egg disappear and he can't get it back. What's the other one? Duck Dodgers, of course. All the Chuck Jones ones are pretty good, you know. Those are the standard ones. I like the early ones where he's just a, you know, more of a sprite, more just like a total unhinged idiot. Oh, Porky Pig's Feet. That's another great one.
Oh, yeah.
That's one. That's a Tashlin, and that is Porky and Daffy are in a hotel room, and they can't pay the bill, and the manager keeps coming by and threatening them, and they keep trying to sneak out.
Yeah.
And at the end, they figure out they've got no other way out except to call Bugs Bunny for advice. And it's kind of odd because this is the first cartoon that all three of them were ever in together. And Daffy's going like, yeah, Bugs Bunny, he's my hero. And it's like, well, that'll change.
Yeah.
And so he calls up Bugs, and Bugs has him on the phone. And it's like, did you try throwing the manager down the stairs? Yes. Did you try going out the window? Yes. We tried all those things. And then the door to the next room opens up, and Bugs is in there, and he's a prisoner too. And he goes, yeah, they don't work, do they? And it's kind of funny to see, you know, all the their big stars together. And I guess after that, it became more of a thing. So, but that's a great one too. Any more questions? Any more questions?
Well, did the guy that asked the Aunt May question get his question for you asked? Because he had one. You remember? I had some peanuts for dinner.
That's was that all
very
you ate?
Good dinner.
Oh, thoughts on Eisner nominees? Yeah, I looked them over. I think they're all pretty good. So, I got no problems there. There was something I felt that should have been nominated and it wasn't, and I was really upset about that. That was the one thing. Caroline Kelly's book. Was not nominated.
Nominated?
No, the Pogo reprint book was not nominated.
Why?
And I actually got kind of up in arms over it. I don't know. They had some other reprints nominated, and the Pogo book didn't make the cut. And I thought it was absolutely phenomenal. I thought it was tremendous, and
wow,
it got great press. And it sold well. It was selling well in like regular chain bookstores, as well as online and comic stores. I think that was the one thing I was really upset about. So, so take that for what it's worth. But can I have a drink of water? Do you have any there?
Nope.
Yeah.
There you go.
Ezra has six of them, though.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. I'm not allergic to peanuts. I just don't like them very much. And for whatever
reason... You had peanuts, too?
I must have had a peanut at some point because it got caught in my throat. So.
How do you know it's a peanut caught in your throat if you didn't eat a peanut?
You know what? It's an almond. Because I had an almond.
That's not a peanut.
No, but I'm having trouble with nuts now. My dad is violently allergic to all nuts.
Okay.
Nuts just don't break up well in my mouth. So, and
you know what they would if you would chew them.
I do chew them.
But you clearly don't chew them enough.
I guess maybe I do
you
have.
You can't just pop them like pills. It doesn't work like that. They're pointy.
Well, okay.
Chew your almonds.
Maybe I do have a little bit of something resistance to some of the nuts, but there's some nuts I just don't like. I don't like peanuts very much.
You don't like peanuts? I think they're delicious.
No, that's why I never eat Snickers bars. I just hate them.
Well, then why did you keep them?
What?
We had a bunch of Snickers bars for
Halloween.
Yeah, the Joker gave them away on the porch.
Yeah.
And he saved a bunch of them. They're in the freezer.
Well, other people come over, they like them.
They're both looking at me like, give me one. And I'm
send them out.
I'm thinking,
why do we
no,
have a,
I want them now.
we have a dish of M&Ms that neither one of us touches in the other room.
This is true.
And the
black ones, too.
And the bear over there, the chief, has got a silver tray.
He's had those lollipops for 3 years.
Yeah, with C's lollipops on them. No one has ever taken all of
them. There's a wasabi.
I take them sometimes.
Do you? Oh, good.
Do you?
They're probably rotten.
Yeah. No, I don't
Are they rotten?
Yeah, they're hard.
Well, that doesn't mean
but they're
not rotten.
Supposed to be.
It's like canned food and lollipops. There's a wasabi sucker over there.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you giving me the eyeball?
Wasabi seeds?
Wasabi. No, it's not.
No,
it's
like...
from Lollifile.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. Who's going out of business?
Oh,
sad.
I didn't know
they had maple bacon lollipops I had over there for a while. Yeah, they were good. Yeah, they were good. Well, I heard they were good. I didn't have any. Because that's wrong to me.
Well, I think we've already answered this question before in all our raving, but Cole... Rothaker asks.
Hi, Cole. I know Cole.
Yeah. Without getting too specific, how great was Avengers? Mostly interested in your perfect superhero movie comment.
Oh, it's okay.
I think we answered that before. You know, when we talked about Joss, that's why, because he has a knowledge of this and he was able to do it. You know, and that's the thing that I've been to other studios and I've been called in to develop other superhero properties or give them pitches. You know, and they just. Some studios have too much power at the executive level and they just don't understand the material or they've never read the material or they need the material, you know, chopped up, reshaped and reformed into some form that is like something else. And they don't get it, you know. Yeah. And so
and that's how we get movies like Steel.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, years ago, this was got to be 12 years ago. A production company called me in to talk about Jonah Hex, which after 12 years in development hell finally got made, and then it was like 90 minutes of audience hell.
Yeah.
But I went in with a take on it, and I guess they had sort of this was like the one DC property they kind of inherited, and they didn't have any feel for it or passion for it. Hmm. And if you've got nobody who's like one of the producers who knows the character or is passionate about it, you're just never going to get anything out of it. You're just going to get something that's like something, and it's going to be very, I don't know.
It whitewashed.
Just, yeah, you know, and nothing I could do would make a dent in the opinion. So, because you can only educate the people so much, and it's like, I don't know. And my involvement with that project was mercifully brief. Let's see. We should have a couple more. Quaquaman says, would it be possible...
Quaquaman
says...
Yes!
Would it be possible to do Captain Marvel, Billy, ongoing with you writing and Ivan Reese on pencils? No. absolutely not.
I mean, sure, that might be cool, but wow, where did that come from?
Well,
you know what, though? You got some pretty cool inks today from Mr. Stefan Rue.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, just to underscore this a bit. For one thing, they're not calling the character Captain Marvel anymore in the DC Billy Batson continuities.
What are they calling him?
Shazam.
They renamed it like everyone has been. And they changed him for the costume. Years anyway. And
everything. They should just call Zatanna like her name backwards and.
Anataz Azara or something. Oh. Ataraz Azara.
That's silly.
Well. I don't know. Alex Ross and myself are probably the only two people who believe that Captain Marvel could be done as it was done. You know, if you're going to do it at all, why not do it as a DC Junior title or something like that?
CC Beck, you know, direct
the character
translation.
Was never really.
Yeah.
The character was never really meant to go toe to toe with the Justice League. You know, the way it is now. You know, it just.
No, he belonged in an animal sort of friendly, talking world. You know.
Yeah. And Captain Marvel will always be my dad's superhero and of that generation. He grew up with him in the 40s and the 50s or whenever they stopped publishing him. And
I love it. I love it just like that. I've been rereading those original C.C. Beck archives and Showcase and stuff. They're great.
Oh, the Monster Society of Evil, the whole thing. I mean, you have to approach it with that sort of innocence where Captain Marvel's number one enemy is a little talking worm with a radio attached to his neck.
Exactly.
And Dr. Savannah and all his evil, ugly kids and Mr. Takitani and Uncle Dudley and all these characters who just filter in and out of his world. And you just do it like that. It's sort of like, you know, okay, we have the rights to Little Abner. And instead of trying to, for one thing, Al Cap, Little Abner without Al Cap shouldn't be attempted, but just say you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, Little Abner is Dog Patch, and it's Kickapoo Joy Juice, and Jubilation D. Cornpone, and Daisy May, and Lonesome Joe, and Hairless Polecat, and all that.
You know,
Hairless
Peter
Joe
David
and Lonesome
I had
Polecat.
A Little Abner sing-along at the Magic Castle once.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
But I just want to say...
Loudly.
Yeah.
Peter was singing loud. I was singing, shut up, Peter.
But Little Abner has a certain feel, and a certain look, and a certain, you know, tone to it. Mm-hmm. And it would be like, okay, Little Abner... He's still a lovable hillbilly, but he's like a modern guy who goes... It would be like, suddenly, he's not Little Abner, he's King of the Hill, you know? It's sudden like, it's a modern take on rustic America, where Little Abner drives for NASCAR, and Daisy May works at Walmart, and they have trouble with, you know, they're alcoholics, and Pappy Yoakum is an aspiring country singer, you know, and stuff like that. You just, why are you doing that? Well, that's what the country is now. It's like... Well, there's such a mania to redefine things of the moment. You know, I've heard so many theories that young people cannot accept any form of entertainment unless it's a direct reflection of who they are. And there's something to that. And I don't think that should be true in every case because, you know, otherwise, why don't you just take everything out and burn it and just, you know, make entertainment just totally
everyone
of the moment.
Everyone responds to something different. I mean, that's why there's so many genres and, you know, mediums that there are now.
I just don't think Captain Marvel sustains, you know, inclusion in the same world of Superman and Batman, you know, not to any great degree, you know, I just don't feel it. So, and also, you know, I'm just not work in a DC anymore. So so nerds to that. although I do have a Batman story coming out soon,
and
which is by Stefan Rue, drawn by Stefan Rue, and it looks great.
Don't you still have the Joe Quinones thing on the books?
Yeah, that's coming out probably later this year. So I will probably be looking at the artwork for that sometime over the summer and making a final edit on that. This short Batman story, got the finished art on that today, and it is
amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Stefan Rue, man, he's killer.
I love Stefan. And he's a nice guy too. He's just so cool.
Yeah, that's for Batman.
He just got married. Congratulations, Stefan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lives in Wisconsin now from France.
Yeah. Wow.
That's a big move.
Yeah, that is.
From cheese to cheese.
Different kinds.
Is he Wisconsin?
Yeah. Boulder.
Yeah.
Where's Neil Gaiman live? Minnesota.
Uh huh.
Okay, so it's like the upper Midwest.
You guys want his address? What the hell are you doing?
Yeah, I don't know how advertised that is.
Well, I'm just trying to think of a big state, but
I'm just trying to think of people we know who live up in that region.
We should do a little Midwest tour when you get your car.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Paul's trying to decide what kind of car he would like. He would like to get his midlife crisis mobile.
No, I had that years ago.
Yeah,
that,
you
that
did. Was, it's called the James Bond car, which we talked about on here.
Z3 Roadster.
It's pretty awesome, though.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, Robert Downey Jr. came driving up in that Acura that he drives.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's my next car.
Oh, yeah.
But it's got those low bucket seats, and I like to be up higher. I feel safer when I can see the whole road. He's trying to decide. He likes Mustangs and Chargers. And he's like, oh, I don't know, because he likes the colors.
Or Challengers.
And the Chargers. Oh, it's a Challenger. That's what it
Challenger.
Is.
Challenger. Something with a Hemi in it.
You don't even know what Hemi means.
Yeah, it means the big bulk, the big bump in the hood with the vents on it, and it goes fast. And
he knows more than me.
And it's like, it's a beast of a car, and I want a beast of a car. Let's see.
Can't with you.
Ian Strope writes, any advice on how to become a writer's assistant and achieve a good trajectory toward working as a writer,
etc.? That's a good question.
It depends on
if he wants to achieve trajectory as a writer, shouldn't he be writing instead of assisting a writer?
Well, it depends on what kind of writer he wants to be. Now, like, I've known a lot of people who've broken into TV writing by going the writer's assistant route, and a good example of that was I had a friend who was working, the first job he got in LA, and this is like 30 years ago, was working over at ABC Studios, because in addition to studying writing in college, he also knew a lot about business, or he had a minor in business, and he got a job in their bookkeeping department, or in the accounting department. So they were looking for like junior people in the accounting department. He was in there, which was like a bump up slightly from being in the mailroom, and he met another aspiring writer. They hit it off. They became a writing team. They got assigned from accounting to a sitcom, and as writer's assistants production assistants, and then they made it into the writer's room, and then they eventually made it as term writers, and then full-fledged writers and producers on the show. And the process took them about 3 years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it takes a while just to being on a hit show helps, because there's a steady turnover of writers. You know, sometimes writers stay with the show for years and years, and but sometimes, you know, writers come and go, or the writers who start with a series that gets popular, sometimes they're offered their own deals and they'll leave, or they'll do a show of their own or a spinoff, or you know, go someplace else. So you're in a very good position if you start off that way. So I would say, if you're looking for to be a writer's assistant for media, for TV, then you start hustling around the studios and see what kind of job you can get just working at the studio in some sort of clerical capacity, and use any connection you have to do that.
Yeah, when I was at NBC, a number of my friends who were production assistants were making their way over to try and be writer assistants. A couple of them got on House and whatnot.
Yeah.
And that's the way to do it, yeah.
Yeah, I think Riley Stearns started up. Riley was working at, he was working at Urban Outfitter or something, or a store, and then he somehow made the jump into being like a writer's assistant, and he was working with Glenn Morgan, and then Glenn brought him on Tower as a writer. It just happens, you know. And then from there, you kind of, it's up to how much you can hustle and get stuff around to other, spec work and produced work out to other production companies. And that's up for you and your agent to do the legwork at that point. So as far as being a writer's assistant for fiction or something like that, that's a different, you know, game, because you know, sometimes people need personal assistance or aides around the house. It's not so much they need help with the writing, but because most writers tend to do it themselves. Although I would do it the other way if you're trying to get into, like, especially toward production.
And out of personal experience, if you're doing the schmoozing as a production assistant, don't be afraid to, you know, converse with everyone you meet. Tell them what you're interested in doing. Tell them why you're doing it, because anyone you talk to is a possible step into something else.
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you how many times, like, I'll run into a couple of young guys just right out of school who'll say, "Hi, my partner and I are working on something, but we've got, you know, we're talking to somebody about something," and you want to talk to those guys because you know, those guys are gonna move up, or, you know, some cases they get out of the business completely or it doesn't work out, but in most cases, if they're pretty tenacious and single-minded, you know, they'll find their way in.
Yeah.
Let's see. Askinia says, any more Madame Mirage? And that's a question I also got from Stephen Wiles. Madame Mirage, any future plans? You know, I'll call Philip about that and see where we are with that, because I'd like to kickstart that second series and get that going.
Deuce does not sound impressive. Oh, I'm sorry, Ezra. What?
Deuce is,
I was just going to say, everyone loves more.
She's cool. Yeah. You did a good job with her.
Let's see if I've got one more. Oh, Stingray Travel has an interesting question. It's, do you think CG animation has the problem of being dated due to its tech of the day, where hand-drawn is more final and established? That's kind of an interesting question, because CG is coming along and there's some stuff that looked pretty clunky 10 years ago that is now really refined. I mean, if you look at something like Tintin, you know, that's pretty impressive what they were able to do with motion capture and CG.
Look at the early days of CG, like Star Trek The Next Generation, first couple seasons, or Babylon 5, where they're really trying to push the envelope, but it still isn't quite there. And now look at what it is today and what's accomplished in television.
Yeah, I mean, even something like Toy Story, you know, like they did a really good job on that, but then I'd be interested to know if they're, in order to keep the continuity of the look of the characters, if there are certain things they don't do in, or they didn't do in Toy Story 2 or Toy Story 3, just so that the look of the characters would remain constant, because it's certainly come, you know, a full circle from, you know, from the time they did that. I'm not saying they would be pulling their punches, but it's just that...
I mean, they were able to sneak some things in, because the original Toy Story, they couldn't handle hair yet. That was something Master on Monsters, Inc. And then Toy Story 3, you had that big teddy bear character who was just purple and hairy.
Yeah.
And the people got better, yeah.
Uh-huh.
They featured them more.
Yeah, fur has always been a problem, and then that got to be a... and then they finally figured out how to do that. That's why most of the beasts in CG were always, like, you know, reptilian and stuff like that. The first time I ever saw fur on a character, I guess, was in the Flintstones, because in addition to doing the dinosaurs, they also did their saber-toothed tiger.
Oh, yeah.
And some of the shots of it was a puppet, and there were some of it was CG, but I was recalled, okay, somebody got a furry animal to look kind of good. I think with CG features, though, I don't think the problem is due so much partially to the tech, but I think the way they're written seriously dates them, because in order to make a funny movie, sometimes they go back into these things like a month before release, and then they gag them up, you know, like they'll come up with either reshoots, or they'll have a lot of dialogue going over, you know, characters turning away, where they'll put in a lot of contemporary references or loaded up with, you know, jokes that are very topical, but, you know, that'll date by the time it gets out on DVD.
Yeah, Patton Oswalt mentions this a lot when he talks about punch-ups, they're called. Yeah. And he's asked to come in and it's like, can these funny characters that are doing something right now, not talking, have people tell them things off-screen that are funny? Or yell things from off-screen that are funny?
Yeah. Can we get a Kardashian joke coming in from off-screen?
Yeah.
You know, or something, you know. And this is all executives worrying about, it's not funny enough, it's not funny enough.
The kids are going to get bored.
Yeah. And I think that tends to date it, you know. So the writers get antsy, or the producers get antsy at the last minute, and they start loading the thing up with, you know, with very current jokes and or whoever, whatever celebrity has been popping lately, you know, and that stuff dates terribly. And mm-hmm. you look back at the 30s, you know, when, or the 40s, you look at some of the old Warner Brothers cartoons and there'll be a joke about Jerry Colonna or somebody like that. And, and kids will look at that and they go, who was that? And it's like, well, he was like Bob Hope's sidekick, on radio. It's like, radio? Bob Hope? What does all this mean? You know, so
yeah.
20 years from now, kids will be looking at references to the Kardashians and Joan Rivers and Lady Gaga and all this, you know, celebrities that are popular now, Simon Cowell, and going like, what the hell does that mean? And Walt Disney was pretty clever in that he did a lot less of that than his contemporaries, because he wanted his stuff to have sort of an eternal quality. And I think that's something that they figured out at DreamWorks, because movies like the Kung Fu Panda movies are pretty good. They establish their own mythologies, whereas things like Shrek, or even the first Shrek, is really hard to sit through now. Like I know they did a couple of other ones, but they're so of the moment that they just date really badly. And that was something that we learned. Actually, I learned that on Tiny Toons when we were writing that show, is that we were encouraged to make them like the old Warner Brothers cartoons. And one of the things they actively encouraged us to do was to do contemporary parody. And, you know, looking at cartoons now where Babs comes out and says, oh, that's so 90s. It's like, come on, man, that's 20 years ago. And they're making jokes about celebrities that were really popular around 1992.
Cher,
Michael Jackson, all that other stuff.
I did just watch Freakazoid recently.
Yeah.
And I caught a Newt Gingrich joke.
Yeah.
Which is funny again now.
Yeah, it's funny again now, yeah.
Sometimes it comes back around.
Newt never goes that far away, lucky for us.
I think it was an episode you wrote, too.
It probably was. And, excuse me. Yeah, I mean, jokes like that get big laughs in the writer's room. You know, Steven Spielberg read the script and you go, oh, that's funny. That's like 1940s type, you know, jokes. But then when you see it 20 years later, it's like, man, what were we thinking?
Yeah.
So that's one of the reasons why we tried to keep contemporary stuff out of Batman and just, you know, kind of peg it as the 20th century or the early 21st century and nothing more specific than that.
So as far as the question goes, I guess it's just the writing is what keeps it classic, and not the animation.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah. Because, I mean, people have also asked me, do you think hand-drawn animation is going to go the way of black and white animation? And I'm going like, yeah, but black and white animation hasn't gone all that far. Yeah, I mean, it's still available, and look at things like the old Betty Boops and Popeyes and early Mickey Mouses. Those are terrific.
If you want to keep this metaphor running, how about black and white silent films? Didn't we just get the movie The Artist?
Exactly my point. I was just going to make that. You know, it's like what won the Oscar last year? Mm-hmm. A black and white silent movie. But the thing is, with hand-drawn animation, I think there'll always be artists who like doing it, and there'll always be an affection for it. It's like stop motion. Stop motion went away for a while, but now it's back. You know, Tim Burton's making a new stop motion movie. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that you'll see a lot of it, but CGI makes it easy. But there's a ton of just crummy looking CGI out there. I mean, just wait for any major holiday and for all the crummy CGI, you know. Snowmen.
Let's get this out in 3 weeks.
Pumpkins come out and everything. There's a ton of junk out there, but there's an awful lot of good stuff too.
I mean, just again to the point. There was a great show called Reboot, which is not the greatest CG animation. It was really early on, but the story is wonderful.
Yeah,
and you don't care. It works.
Well, it really does come down to the storytelling, and you know, Pixar says it's all in the story, and you know, I'd say that's true. And I think that when you get to a point where you're trying too hard to pander to what people think is our current tastes, then then you're going for a fail. Did I ever go on about the Gatchaman? The story
a little bit, yeah, but I don't think.
Well, when I worked on the Gatchaman project, I worked with the director and producers on a take for these characters that, even though it was the future, we really tried to make it an action show and really give the characters kind of this team camaraderie feel. And in some ways it felt really good. It felt very organic. And then the producer we were working with was stabbed by a kind of other producer who kind of was brought on the project, and he got rid of her very quickly, you know, kind of was done away with. And he came in, and then he wanted to get rid of everybody else. And then he brought in two writers who'd never written anything, but he thought they were cool and hip. Wow. And suddenly the characters are having fist fights for no reason. And because the girl won't sleep with either of the two now completely unlikable male leads, they're calling her a lesbian, and, you know, and there are a lot of dyke jokes. There are a lot of dyke jokes in the thing. Their term, not mine. And the villain has these horrifically bad lines. You know, everything's a pun suddenly. And then we all left the project around that time. And it's just like, why did you make these choices? We had the storyboard team ready to go on a script they all liked. And this is not a punch up. This is a total, you know,
overall
scouring of what I wrote. And you brought in these guys who wrote something over a weekend, and you're going with that. And he goes, well, this has a younger, more hipper, contemporary feel. It's like, oh, really? Well, that's good, because what we wrote was Gatchaman. This isn't Gatchaman. And so, and then the project fell to bits. And then, you know, shortly thereafter. So it was like, you know, you can't. A lot of executives don't know how to write, and they just don't know how to read. And when they read something that reads like a straight ahead adventure script or something that has some character in it, and they go, yeah, but it's a cartoon. We should have more jokes in it. I don't care if it's science fiction or, you know, and the characters need an attitude. They have to have real sharp, hip, contemporary attitude. It's like, just tell a good story. You know, you work out the attitude and the character beats and the funny little catchphrases you're working for. You're looking for, quite often you can't even write those. Those will come in, a really astute producer or director will be going through a storyboard and they'll be punching things up, and you go, hey, we have a moment here. This is funny here. Let's play up this. Or an actor will bring something into the booth. Those are the little golden moments. And you're really second guessing yourself if you think you can write every little thing and appeal to the ever-changing tastes of America. Quite often they'll want something that just appeals to them on a primal level. This is a good story and good characters.
Yeah.
And that's what I got to say about that.
So are we done?
I think we're done.
Okay.
That was my long-winded diatribe.
It was good, though.
Extra long episode. So.
I think you're interesting.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Deuce agrees with you. Has he slept through the whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, he doesn't think you're interesting, but I do.
Okay. Well, that's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more fun, merriment, and maybe even a special guest. Probably a special guest.
If the house is clean.
If the house is clean.
I don't know. It's been, you know, I was looking, and we have this High Striker thing from the Halloween in the hallway still.
High Striker is like one of those things you see at the
test your strength thing.
In old cartoons, you know, Popeye and Bluto are always hitting, you know, with a mallet, you know, test your strength, you know, that sort of thing. Ring a bell, win a prize.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just been sitting in the living room since Halloween, because neither one of us has wanted to pick the damn thing up and haul it out back.
Well, also, I don't know where to put it. So.
Well, it's already halfway till Halloween, so I might as well just leave it till
you're
next
not
week.
Helping.
Okay.
He's got a point.
You can't even open that closet.
He's got a point. It's only.
You're not helping either.
May, June, July, August, September.
You know, why clean up anything? It just gets dirty.
It's practically here.
Why make the bed? You just get in it.
You know what? It's only 11 months till Easter.
Yeah.
Might as well leave the bunnies up.
Just leave the shit up.
Still got a Christmas tree.
By the way, we're all eating frozen Snickers bars right now.
I'm not.
I am.
I don't like peanuts.
Right. Which you is know, why I didn't bring you one.
You know they make Snickers bar with almonds. Okay.
Isn't like nougat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'd rather have a taco or something. Anybody want to go Jack in the Box?
Mm-hmm.
They make the best tacos there. I love... I know there's like Chipotle. There's
old cat food.
Yeah, it's cat food. It's pure cat food, but I love it.
Delicious.
It's cat food with a slice of American so-called cheese.
They're so brilliant.
Yeah. Oh. My favorite road food in the world are Jack in the Box tacos and than McDonald's filet of so-called fish.
Oh, that's the only fish I've ever eaten when I was younger. I was like, I don't eat fish. Oh, but I'll eat a filet of fish.
Well, you're still safe because you're not really eating fish.
Yeah, exactly.
I once saw a picture of the animal. They make the filet of, quote, fish, end quote, from... And it's horrifying.
Is it the fish version of the pink slime?
Yeah, it is. Exactly. If it was any bigger, it would be Cecil. You know, from Beanie and Cecil, it would be rearing out of the ocean like that. If it was just a foot longer, it would be like, Beanie Boy! Something like that. It really is this ghastly, hideous freak of ichthyological horror. So, God, it's like we're high.
I feel like Dishonest John every time I eat a sandwich.
More tartar sauce. And so I think we're off for tacos and filet of fish.
Sounds good.
And we'll see you all next week.
This has been another episode of Radio Rashi. If you've enjoyed this episode, let everyone know by leaving a review in the iTunes Store. It's a great way to help others find us. You can also leave comments on RadioRashi.com, Facebook.com/RadioRashi, or follow us on Twitter at Radio Rashi or at Paul_Dini to leave us questions. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends.